Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you, praising you and extolling you. You are exalted. Lord, you are our King, you are our Lord, you're the head of this church, head of the church. So, Father, we come. It's an honor to come before you. Lord, as we come, we pray for one another. And Lord, we know that we're called to build up each other and to pray for one another and to spur one another on and to encourage one another. So this morning, Lord, we come to pray for each other. We pray, Lord, for Doreen Brown as she is grieving this the loss of a sister-in-law. Also for David Ryerson, who's grieving the loss of his mother. And Lord, there are others even here today still grieving. And we pray, God, that we would be encouraging to them, that we would weep with them, that we would use our arms as an extension of your arms to them. Lord, help us to be the people you call us to be. Lord, we think of health needs for Henry and Lenore and Lori and Connie and Megan and Ray. And Lord, we lift them to you and pray, God, in each situation. You know the specific needs. You know where healing needs to occur. You know, God, how the doctors need wisdom. And you know how families need your strength and courage during times that are difficult when a loved one is not well. And so we pray, God, for each case, each situation, each circumstance, and give it to you. We think, Lord, of those who are unable to attend worship services, and we think of Mary Workentine at this time. And God, we pray that you would be very close to her, as I'm sure she is even feeling a sense of loss as well, as she's grieving. Mary's brother, Donald, and Lord, we just pray that you'd be very close to her and to the Ballon family. Lord, we are also excited that we can come and pray together and rejoice with you. Lord, we rejoice in have Brent and Connor are here, and God, we rejoice in that, and we rejoice that Bob Hill is here, and Lord, we pray for continued health and strength with them, and we just praise you, God, that even as a church, as we move forward, Lord, we just want to move forward in obedience to you, complete surrender to you, God. Lord, you're our God. We want to serve you. We want nothing more, nothing less than your will and your purpose. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be here? Okay, good. I had to check to make sure you guys were happy. I don't know. How many of you are glad that it's Christmas soon? What? How many of you enjoyed the snow out there? Okay, good. We'll talk to you later. How many of you excited summer's coming? Oh, yeah. I hear an amen for that. There we go. Well, these two brothers, they're terrible, terrible troublemakers. They're always breaking things, they're stealing things, they're lying, and they're making all kinds of general trouble. And the parents, they have tried everything to get their boys to change. Nothing. No avail. Nothing's occurred. And so finally, out of options, they ask their pastor if he can help. Yeah, you're laughing already. He says he would gladly talk to the boys, but he will only do this if he talks to them one at a time. Okay, one at a time, only one at a time. So the parents, they drop off the youngest, and they go home. And they promised, of course, to return to get him fairly soon, but he said, we'll be back in about an hour. Pastor said, maybe half, you know. So, you know, they drop him out. The boy sits in a chair. He's across from the pastor's desk, and they just look at each other. That's all they do. Until finally, Finally, the pastor gets a brainwave. Often that happens to some pastors, I heard. Young man, where is God? Young lad just sits there and doesn't answer. Doesn't even make a motion. Pastor begins to look very sternly, very loudly this time, and he says, "Where is God?" The little boy shifts in his seat a little bit, still doesn't answer. The pastor's actually getting angry at this point. I understand some pastors do that. They get angry, and at the boy's refusal to converse, he practically shouts out, he's, "Where is God?" And to the pastor's surprise, the little boy jumps out of the chair, runs out of the office. The boy leaves the church, and he runs all the way home, up the stairs into his mother's room. And he finds his brother, and he shuts the door, and he's panting. His brother says, "What's wrong?" "We're in big trouble. God is missing. And they think we did it." Just a minute, I'm dizzy from hyperventilating. You know, confrontation, it's not an easy thing. Nobody likes confrontation, especially the one receiving the confrontation. We've walked through a few highlights from 1 Corinthians, and I've been doing this backwards for a reason. Doing it backwards so we can see the approach that the Apostle Paul took when he confronted. Because he was great at confronting, and he did it in such a great way. As the human founder of the Corinthian church, Paul had really a large task before him. Because you see, there were some things about the Corinthian church. Like the Corinthian church, it was a defiled church. Some members had committed sexual immorality and drunkenness. I mean, these guys, there was orgies going on. This was a defiled church. It was also a divided church. At least four groups competed for leadership within this church. It was also a disgraced church. I mean, its problems became known throughout the whole community. And so Paul, he loved his Corinthian family in Christ, but when he received reports that divisions and immorality and pride had crept into their way into the church, he knew he had to speak up. He needed to confront the sin that some of the members had grown proud of. Well, Paul's letter could have been one long verbal spanking to them. But instead, Paul saw this church's potential. And despite its problems, he knew that God was doing great things with this church. And I trust this morning that we can learn from the Lord through his word as we dig into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. And we're going to understand about giving 101% and what it requires. Giving 101% requires. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is faithful. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. What a great passage. Giving 101% requires some things. Giving 101% requires, first of all, appreciation. Appreciation. Paul knew that he must confront the issues. But he started this whole letter with encouragement. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy conflict. I don't think I'm in the minority either. I would venture to say that the most of us, the majority, do not like conflict. So there's a reason why we travel backwards. It sounds to me at the beginning of the letter, it's normal to begin at the beginning of a letter and work your way through it, but we've done the opposite because we need to know how Paul dealt with the issues in this church. And first of all, he started by building them up. Appreciation. This is so much Paul. I mean, this is his character. He begins with thanksgiving to God for those he's ministering to. He realizes that God has brought them together. And so he explains, and I'm going to read the Message Bible, every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened to you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. Great verse. Paul knew how to appreciate somebody. He knew the effect that God has on people. You cannot say that you know Christ and not demonstrate how you know him. You cannot say that you know Christ and not demonstrate how you know him. Paul wanted the Corinthians, he wanted them to be reminded of how much he appreciated them and their partnership in Christ. So Paul gave 101%. Now he gave 101%. I know you're saying, well, I've heard 110%. No, wait a minute. What's giving 101%? What is giving 101%? Find the 1% that you can affirm and give it 100% of your attention. Find the 1% that you can affirm and give it 100% of your attention. See, as the old saying goes, you catch more bees with honey than with vinegar. Isn't that true? Well, you catch a lot of people that way too, in case you're dating. We as Christians, we need to do more of this. We need to demonstrate how much we appreciate a job well done. We need to appreciate the giftedness of God through individuals. But unfortunately, the church isn't so quick to do this, and I don't know why. I remember working for Kenny Shoes. Anybody heard of Kenny Shoes before? Anybody bought a pair of Kenny Shoes? Anybody bought them from me? No. They had what they called an incentive program, and it was a great program. I mean, not only did you receive commission for every shoe that you sold to boot, you got the pun. You got it. To boot, they gave you even more commission on sales of polish and accessories, but then they'd also, they'd pay you a salary. So you got a salary and plus you got commission. It was a great world. Then the manager would come along and he'd pat you on the back after each sale. Really, he would. You know, you'd do a sale and, good job, Devin, I'd be with somebody else. And you know, or you'd be having your lunch or your coffee break, a coworker would come back and say, great job today. I mean, everybody was like, it was sickening, actually. And then, at the end of the week, the manager would take you out for coffee, and he'd have a little chat about how your performance was and what you maybe required to make your job a little bit easier. And it made you really want to sell shoes. It did. And that's what the church is all about. See, we call it the one another's in our FISH program. We need to build up one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift one another up. Paul noted that these Corinthians were enriched by God, and he points to Christ as he reminds these Corinthians. Verse 5, he said, for in him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Paul appreciated these believers. And he wanted them to clean up their act and begin demonstrating who they were in Christ. He wanted them to see God's work in their lives. He wanted them to know that God did everything. They needed to simply just not believe in God, but believe God. And so to ease the sting of the encounters that further on we studied over the past couple weeks in Corinthians, Paul first of all showed how much he appreciated them. We can learn so much here. I mean, how often we just jump right in, we go for the juggler when it's confrontation. Wah! How often do we just look at someone and point out that there's their problem? Tell them where their faults are. Hey, they know it already. You don't need to show them. We thrust our judgment call on them. How often do we look for the 1% that's good? My mother says, she says, there's good in everyone. I used to remind her of that as a child, endlessly. There was a sign in her home that said, I need thee every hour. And underneath it hung the strap. Anyway, just kidding. I was just But there is good in everyone. How can someone even say that? Because they look for it. We need to look for it. Don't you? You think for a moment. Think right now. You see in the good you see in your neighbor, sitting in the pew beside you, or it might be your spouse, I don't know. Think of how much you appreciate that leader, that elder, or that person in your team, or a team leader, or a team member that you serve with. Think about a Sunday school teacher who has helped develop you, assist your growth. Think about such things. Tell them how much you appreciate their giftedness. Even more, their willingness to use their gift for the Lord. Show appreciation to your kids, to your spouse. Tell your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiancé how much they mean to you. But don't stop there. Show appreciation for that person by also praying for them continually, Paul says. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? Amen? All right, do you all feel appreciated right now? I do too. I can look at you. No, just giving 101% requires appreciation. But giving 101% also requires affirmation. Don't you love the alliteration there? Affirmation. The Corinthians needed to be affirmed in who they were. They needed to be aware that God is faithful, that he never strays. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you think of the word affirm, support or uphold, that's what it means. So Paul assures the Corinthians of God's faithfulness. As God called them initially into fellowship with Christ, so he is faithful in completing the work, granting them every grace and gift for daily life. We need to be affirmed today more than ever. We do. God is faithful in completing his work in you, in the church. We shouldn't even be concerned about such things. We should affirm the work Christ is doing. I mean, as a church, you need to know how God is using FBCPA. I know, just to let you in on a secret. FBCPA is First Baptist Church, Prince Albert. Yeah, put that down in your notes somewhere. How many of you read the paper lately or picked one up? Good for you. I haven't. But I've heard. This past week was overwhelming, apparently. There were articles which included the words First Baptist Church, Prince Albert in them. Did you catch them anywhere? Wait, now, you got to understand, we got to be careful here. See, that's not with pride that it's so wonderful to be featured. This is what I want to tell you. God is getting his work done. He is getting the word out. We have nothing to do with it other than listening and following him, and he looks after everything else. He is faithful. Amen? So he says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, and I read it from the Message Bible, he said, God, who got you started in the spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Never. We'll never forget you. This Corinthian church was not pretty. There was divisions. There was immorality. They were proud. And Paul said, you know what? God's never going to give up on you. You may give up on God, but God's not going to give up on you. He reminded them that they had fellowship with God. That's where it all happens. That's where it all is. That's what we're to be. I think of the spiritual venture of FBCPA. I mean, it's been a great journey. We've even celebrated 100 years of ministry here in Prince Albert. The journey has demonstrated over and over and over again that God has never given up. Sometimes we stray. Sometimes we stray, but God doesn't give up on us. We may give up. We may wonder, how can we possibly do it? We can't. Well, we can't do it. Without God, we can't. And that's exactly the affirmation we need even right now. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it well when he penned these words. He said, our chief want in life is somebody who will make us do what we can. Good words. Look at the good. So what you can affirm about another person, look for the good. Spur one another on to do well. It may make a difference in somebody else's life. See, before any critique of a person or persons, Paul demonstrates clearly the need of demonstrating affirmation of who they are in Christ. And just as Paul calls the Corinthians to depend on Christ himself, this is the call for each of us. We need more than ever in our day and age. We need to depend only on Christ. Amen? I want to tell you right now, he's the only one who's worthy of our dependence. We need to be affirmed of that, especially during this time in our life at the church. God is faithful. How many of you believe that today, that God is faithful? How many of you, just show your hands. Not for me, for the Lord, yeah, right on. Say it with me, because you want to say it. I know you do. God is faithful. Say it with me. God is faithful. It's easy to say, but it's hard to believe. Believe it. Believe it. He's faithful. And I tell you, when you understand that, I will tell you that the world becomes so much nicer when we do understand that, because when we see the world through the lens of God when we believe that he's faithful. And I'm glad that he is. How about you? Amen? Why? Paul knew how to build up people. He always saw the good in them. Giving 101%, what does it require? It requires appreciation. It requires affirmation. It also requires application. Here comes the point. Point to the rest. In the light of the information given about divisions in the church, Paul exhorts the Christians both positively and negatively. Message Bible reads like this. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends, using the authority of Jesus our Master. I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. Paul does this so subtly. He builds them up in chapter 1, and then he gives the application throughout the rest of the letter. It's a subtle learning approach. It's like Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Can I tell you a story? Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. How many of you heard? Yeah, right on. They're on a camping trip. After a good dinner and a cup of coffee, they retire for the night and they go to sleep. And some hours later, Holmes wakes up and he nudges his faithful friend and he says, Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. Watson, he looks up in the sky and says, well, I see millions and millions of stars, Holmes. And what do you deduce from that, my dear friend? Well, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately 3:15. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful, faithful, and we are a small and insignificant part of the universe. What does it tell you, Holmes? And Holmes is silent for a moment, and then he says, oh, Watson, you idiot. Someone has stolen our tent. Now, I know from experience, this is all learned stuff. You learn as you go. And it's easier to apply something in my life when it's sweetened with honey. And I'm not saying to sugarcoat, but to build up is biblical. This is what makes us want. This is what gives us the desire to hang out and be around one another. We need to gather together, build each other up, encourage one another, so that we can go out into this God-given world and let others know how Christ has changed our life for the better. Because that's hard to do. That's not easy. And so we gather here today to just get the pat on the back, the, hey, you can go sell one more pair of shoes. You can do it. You can tell somebody about Jesus. You can. Tell you this completely goes against the world, because the world offers nothing that Christ gives. Christ gives us the abundant life, yet often the opposite occurs. People turn to the world because they receive much more affirmation than the church provides. We cannot settle for such things. We must appreciate others, we must affirm others, so that we can apply. Good things happen when Christians take responsibility for creating an atmosphere of love building, and we create the atmosphere and culture here. They're responsible to build community. And that's the buzzword for the day. See, it's like our Lord said back in John 17. It was his prayer for the church. Greatest evangelism program that the world will ever know. Jesus said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He goes on, he says, I and them, and you and me. Then he says these words. Listen to these words. These are the words of Jesus. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Jesus Christ, our head, our Lord, our Savior, calls us to this. Complete unity. This is the application. After the appreciation, after the affirmation, Paul gives the application. It isn't always easy to speak correction to those we know are clearly in the wrong. But giving 101% certainly develops us as Christians into the church that God calls us and equips us to be. Let's pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to just ask you a few questions. This morning, is this what you want to apply? The whole element of affirming and appreciating, the whole element of unity. Is this what you want to apply to your life? If you do, you'll see things differently. Life will take on different shape and different meaning for you. You'll see honey instead of vinegar. People will be attracted to you. They'll want what you have, and you can give it to them. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're coming to God and you're saying, God, I want those principles in my life today. I want to be affirming. I want to appreciate. I just want to apply this to my life. Just lift your hand. Lift it up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees them. Maybe today you're sitting here and you've heard about Jesus. You heard about the church. You've heard of the need to talk to him and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me for the bad stuff I've done. I give you my heart today. I give you my life today so that I can experience new life found in you. If you're coming to him that way today, taking that gift of the Savior on the cross, just lift your head up. Just lift your head saying, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian today. Lift your head. Every head is bowed, every head is closed. Lift your head. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father God, we're coming to this table. This is the table of our Lord, and we can't even be at this table. Lord, we really don't have any right to be other than you call us. You call us to be. Lord, this table is what it's all about, and we know that because you gave your life for us so that we could have the abundant life. Lord, that's overpowering. Lord, how much have we given to you of our life? Lord, how many times have we forgotten who you were? Lord, this morning, as we renew our whole compassion with you and our whole vision with you, Lord, it's only because of you that we are here. God, it has nothing to do with anything else or anyone else. We love you. Thank you for this table, God. Thank you, what it represents. Lord, may you continue to bring us to complete unity so that the world may know who you are. Pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.